All I give a damn about.
The Rich Eisen Show.
Four-time WNBA All-Star Brittany Hicks is here. Give it up for Brittany, everybody. I'm joking around. That's my friend's wife. I knew none of you knew WNBA players.
This is The Rich Eisen Show
with guest host, WWE superstar Seth Rollins.
My feelings on CM Punk are not hard to find. Don't like the guy. Never liked the guy. Haven't liked the guy. Probably never going to like the guy.
Earlier on the show, undefeated boxing champion Terrence Crawford. Coming up, UFC broadcaster Daniel Cormier. And now, sitting in for Rich, it's WWE superstar Seth Rollins.
We have come down to the final hour here on the Seth Rollins Show of my final day filling in for Rich. Man, it's bittersweet. It's bittersweet,
I know,
guys.
Right?
I got to come back. I think I got the itch, man.
Yeah, I think, Seth, you decided you were going to do this, we didn't realize your Friday would potentially be open.
Oh.
So we didn't know that. Wow. We could have had you for another day.
Could have had me for another day.
Right. One chair right. Shot.
We know what? We'll come back, man.
As you should.
We got to do this. Like I said, I do think I got the itch. I think I like it.
I love
it. It's fun, right?
I think. It's so much fun.
It's fun.
I mean, you guys make it great. Don't want to toot your horn too much, but you make it great. You're easy to talk to. You make it easy for me. But I like the vibe, man. I like it. I like talking about sports. I mean, I love talking about sports. Come on now.
Sure.
Come on. Is there a better gig in the world?
We could be talking politics, talk about, I guess. That would be fun.
I'm sure that would be fun. Good God. Seth Rollins here, WWE superstar, filling in on the Rich Eisen Show for Rich. We're going to get to some callers in a bit. If you want to call in, 844-204-RICH. You can watch us live, the Roku Sports Channel, Infinity Sports Network, Sirius XM, Channel 375, stream for free on the Odyssey app or at odyssey.com. Follow Rich at The Rich Eisen Show on social media. Me at WWE Rollins on social media as well. And before we get to these power rankings of my all-time top finishing moves in the history of professional wrestling, we have a shock development in the NFL. Shock retirement. Brockman,
really,
you want to let us know?
Yeah, Jay Felly, hit the breaking news.
Hit it.
Yeah.
Hit it.
Here it comes.
And Maria, I see.
Breaking news.
Kind of a stunning development. Veteran wide receiver Mike Williams, he bounced around with teams, but obviously got a start with the Chargers. He's back with them. Told the team that he plans to retire.
Whoa.
Walking away after 8 seasons, 2,000-yard years, but obviously a career with much promise when he came into the league. Just troubled with injuries, couldn't really stay healthy, put it all together for multiple seasons. Informed Harbaugh and company he is retiring.
Wow. Do we have
just a week before training camp.
Yeah, do we have any intel on what we think, or at least hypothesis on what this might, what do we think this is? I mean, he wasn't hurt last season. We did no injuries like going into the offseason that we were aware of. Chargers seem to be a team on the come up. You know, second year for Harbaugh. First year was solid, I think. They got a good squad.
Real good, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, some people have them and the Chargers in the top 10.
Yeah, they made the playoffs last year. Yeah. I don't know. Adam Schefter saying that Mike Williams' agent informed the team last night that he is walking away at age 30.
That's wild.
Yeah, for sure.
And he gave us one of our favorite drops.
That was him.
Yeah, for sure.
And you know what, TJ? We were talking about this guy earlier off the air. Uh-huh. Got to wonder if this is now a Keenan Allen spot. To return to the Chargers.
Yes.
Definitely, Seth, you brought up, had Keenan signed.
I didn't know if he had signed.
We don't think so. So maybe he returns back. But yeah, I mean, 30 years old, man. And you would know this, right? You haven't reached this point, obviously, but you would think an athlete would get to that point and know when it's over, right? They would.
Yeah, I don't know. It's, is it, because it seems so sudden, right? It seems so sudden, like right before training camp. He's 30 years old. Like I said, you know, he's had some injuries in the past, but
there didn't appear anything
we were like looking at this year, like, oh no, he's hampered going into the season or anything like that. So it feels sudden. So I always wonder about these things. Like was it sudden? Was it he just woke up, you know, this morning or the other day?
Well, they had him on the pup list. But
yeah, maybe it's something he was thinking about and looking. The year was starting. They're like, hey, Mike, what's the deal? You good? You in or out? And he's just like, nah, I'm done.
I'll be curious to hear that. I'm always so curious when athletes' talent, they retire at a young age, you know? I just go like, this is a guy that's probably played football his whole life, you know, to be as good as you are and play in the NFL level, and get to that level. Like, you just, you every single day you wake up and this is what you do. And then at 30 years old, you're like, I'm done. I'm going to do something else. I go, what is that other thing you're going to do, man? Like, I'm so fascinated by that. And I think about that all the time with myself. Like, my career, I'm not at the end, but I'm certainly much closer to the end than the beginning. You know, I'm on the back end of whatever this, you know, career is going to look like. I'm 39. I'll be 40 next year. You know, obviously, you know, injuries aren't the same in what we do compared to professional sports. The performance aspect is a little bit different, but I think about that all the time. I think about, well, what am I going to do after I retire? Am I just going to be a dad? Am I just going to, like, what am I going to do?
I think I think we're figuring out over the last few hours what you probably are going to end up doing for the third chapter of your life.
I have the itch for this. I don't know if this has the itch for me. We'll see. But I do love this. I do love this. I think there's something. Something here, you know, there's some magic in the air. I don't know what it is, but I like it. So hopefully we can do more. We can do more here. Should we get to the power rankings?
Let's do it.
Should we talk about finishing moves?
Yeah, absolutely.
Finishing moves are awesome.
They're the greatest.
They're awesome. The finishing moves in professional wrestling, a signature move, something a guy or girl does to finish his opponent at the end of the match.
Pops the crowd.
Gets the biggest reaction. There's like, sometimes there's a big setup for it, you know. There's a series of moves that lead into it. You know, John Cena's got his big comeback that leads into the AA. You know, with the You Can't See Me and the shoulder tackles and the Whirly Bird, and he's got that. And, you know, Randy Orton's got, and he's vipers up and all of these things, you know. So there's tons of lore around professional wrestling finishing moves. And I have compiled a list of my all-time top 10 power ranking finishing moves in the history of professional wrestling. Y'all ready for it?
Hit it.
Let's take it away. There he is.
This is my power rankings.
Power rankings.
Let's go.
All right, right off the bat, number 10. You know, this one, there might be some controversy here. There might be some controversy because this is, some people hate this move. Some people hate it. They think it's disgusting, disgraced. Should never be done in a wrestling ring. I love it because it's everything that's great about pro wrestling. It's pageantry, it's impact, it's power, it's pomp, it's circumstance. It is the people's elbow.
Oh, okay.
Done by one man, the great Dwayne Johnson, good friend of mine, The Rock. There he is at WrestleMania 40, delivering it to Cody Rhodes. He won that match. I was in that match. I lost that match. Why would we use that picture? Why would we use that picture? You can get The Rock doing a million people's elbows, and that's the one you pick? You disgust me. There we go. There he is. TJ's got the cardboard cut out with the fanny pack and everything. Looking good over there. The people's elbow. I love it. The full setup. The elbow pad comes off. The boom. You know, it's actually difficult to remember which way to go sometimes first. You got to go left, then you come back right, so you can hit with the proper angle with the elbow drop. But I love it. I love the people's elbow. I don't love that picture that we
used. So defeating me.
It is disrespectful. Let's move on. Yeah. Let's get some respect. That cardboard cutout is disrespectful.
You like his shirt?
That's heinous, man. That is heinous. I would wear that shirt, to be fair.
You can have it.
Let's talk. Number nine. The choke slam.
Oh, baby.
Perfected by the big men in professional wrestling. It's gotten bigger. There you go.
Look at
there
that.
We go. Now we're back.
Oh, that was the run-in.
Now we're back. WrestleMania 40, the weight belt flying in the air. look at the cameras in the background, people on their feet. The Oracle, Paul Heyman there, very upset with what's going on. He figured it out, though.
Devastating choke slam.
Devastating choke slam. You just grab the guy, arm over, you pick him up sky high and put him in the ground. You know who's got a great choke slam? Jelly Roll.
I saw that.
Jelly Roll got a hell of a choke slam. Yeah. We'll see if he busts that out in the tag match coming up at SummerSlam. Viper, Randy Orton against Logan Paul. I would love to see him.
You saw he put Logan Paul through a table
on
Kimmel yesterday.
He put him through a table? Through the Kimmel table?
What? Yeah.
Wow, was it a choke slam?
Was it choke slam?
Wow.
It was Jelly Roll and Randy doing an interview.
Yeah.
Drew came out.
Oh no.
Hey, Randy got into it.
Yep.
Logan came out.
Bada
and
boom.
Jelly Roll start getting into. He slapped Jelly Roll. Jelly Roll picked him up, put him through the table.
Why would you slap Jelly, man? That's not nice.
Well, it's Logan for you, right?
He gets what he deserves. All right, number eight. We talked about the power bomb a lot, different variations of the power bomb. This is sort of a variation of the power bomb. One of my favorites of all time, perfected by the bad guy.
Hey, yo.
Scott Hall, Razor Ramon, the Razor's Edge, yeah. AKA the Outsider Edge, if you want to go with Scott Hall. One of my favorite, Damian Priest uses it now. You can do it into a sit-out version, which really rocks. Rhea Ripley throwing it in there as well. She nearly decapitated Io Sky
like that,
at Evolution on Sunday
like
with it.
I don't like that at all. I don't like anything bad happening to Io.
You're big Io. Oh, big Io guy.
You have no idea.
Oh, okay. Oh, it's like that.
It's like that.
Okay, all right. I get it.
I'm professional here, Seth.
All right. Hey, I understand that. You bring up Becky Lynch. I feel the same way. So I get that. I understand that.
There's a big difference, though.
I understand that. Well, you know, one is my wife. Yes.
Yeah, so,
number seven. Moving on. Number seven. From the top rope, brother. Oh, yeah. Macho Man Randy Savage.
Love
been
it.
A lot of imitators, not a lot of duplicators. Number one, Macho Man Randy Savage elbow off the top. Just a thing of beauty, man. He would drive that elbow with that big bicep right down into the heart of his opponent. Not the CM Punk elbow. Not the CM Punk elbow. That is the sloppiest, ugliest, nastiest thing I ever seen in my whole life.
Goodness.
Get that stank out of here, Macho Man, for the win.
Shout out to Kyrie for her insane elbow.
Kyrie, hell, she's got a cool one, man. Yeah, she put some stank on hers. Yeah, absolutely. Number six, the spear. The spear used by many, many, many different folks over the years. There's a good one. My favorite one. Pioneered, you know, Bill Goldberg, the legend, retired. Rhino had the gore.
Edge had Gore.
Edge had a great spear, won a lot of titles with it. Roman Reigns obviously utilized the spear, much to my dismay. But there's the one. Maybe the best spear of all time in the history of the business. And I'm not saying that because he's my boy, Bron Breakker. He's got a spear, dog. You watch him spear. He does the one where he runs around the ring at full speed. Oh, my goodness.
What he did to I Show Speed.
Oh, my God.
He should have caught a case for that. Speaking of doing 30 days in the pen, he should have been locked up for 45.
He had to have just, I mean, he put his body through the mat.
Man.
One of the whiplash, the whole nine. Yeah. The greatest moment, second greatest moment of WrestleMania this past year. Number five, we're going submission route. Sharpshooter, my favorite submission.
Yes.
The most copied submission, a.k.a. the Scorpion Deathlock by the legend Sting. But Sharpshooter, perfected by the best there is, the best there was, the best there ever will be, Bret the Hitman Hart. Very effective submission. Fun to put on. I used to try to put it on my brother all the time. Figure out how to do the legs. It's a good one. For number four, we're going back to the top rope because I love top rope moves, man. I love them. I love a top rope move. I was always like a fan of the high flyers growing up. The splash, the super fly splash. Now the Uso splash. We love, there he is, Big Jim.
Big Jim,
Saturday Night's main event right there hitting his brother, his younger brother, Solo Sikoa with the splash. Almost got the dub.
Thanksgiving's gonna be weird for those guys, man.
Yeah, I know, right? That's gotta be crazy. I don't know what's going on at the picnic, at the barbecue, whatever they got going on in the backyard, but they'll figure it out. I love a splash, man. I love it off the top of the cage. I love all the variations. I love like a corkscrew splash. I love like a 450 splash. I love a shooting star press splash. I do a Phoenix splash.
And you do it quite well.
Hadn't hit one in a while, but I can still do one occasionally.
That's one of my earliest wrestling moments is Snuka coming off the cage and missing Backlund.
So. There you go, man. Yeah, something special about that splash coming off the top. Number three, one of my favorites of all time as well, Sweet Chin Music. There he is. He's got the shirt on right there. Heartbreak Kid, Shawn Michaels, the super kick. I love it because of the setup. I love the stomp. I love the strike up the band. I love the quickness of it. You can hit it on anybody. And now everybody does it.
Yeah.
Everybody does a super kick. That's the mark. And the fact that Shawn Michaels today could still go out, hit somebody with one, and that's the end of the match. Mm-hmm. Boom. Sweet chin music. He's love the it. One, the only, the pioneer. I love it.
The showstopper, the main event.
He is the old Mr. WrestleMania. That's right, because you're looking at the new Mr. WrestleMania. Number two, look, we had to put a bunch of these together because I don't know what you want to call it. Call it the cutter, the diamond cutter, the ace crusher, the RKO, the stone cold stunner, the KO stunner. You can even do it in many variations. You got the Cody cutter off the second rope. You got the super cutter. Cody does the big jumping one. You got the soul snatcher, Sol Ruka in NXT. That move. We got them all, man. You got all these different variations of the cutter, and that's the one of the coolest things. And the RKO, which is the most devastating letters in all of sports entertainment. And the RKO has transcended professional wrestling. Yeah. Now you see people RKOing their friends in the pools
right.
hitting anybody anywhere. It. You know what I mean? Yeah. You just run up behind them, grab their head, pull them to the ground.
I hit Filler with it here on the putting green about
exactly.
a month ago.
Exactly. See?
It still hurts.
See?
Yeah,
and the fact that you can do an RKO means anybody can do an RKO. We love that.
Thank you, Seth.
We love that. And you might be wondering that, you know, you think, well, what's better than the RKO? What's better than that? Well, of course. There's only one finishing move that tops the list, my power rankings, and that is the stomp. There it is. Bye bye, Penta. First of all, look at the physique on that guy. Look at that, Jack. Look at the abs rippling. I'm almost 40 years old. I ate pizza last night, son. I ate pizza last night. That's what I did. I had a cookie, too. I had pizza and a cookie. That's right. And I still look like that. Probably don't look like that today. But, you know, that Monday when I put Penta in the ground, I look like that. Yeah, the stomp, man.
Make him want to stomp.
Look, I can't take all the credit. I didn't pioneer the move. I didn't invent it. It was invented by Namichi Marufuji. Japanese legend. One of the greatest. He did the move. Alex Shelley, one of the Motor City Machine Guns now in WWE, used to do the move as well. I was doing the move as a signature move for a long time. Not even my finish. And it was TJ Wilson, Tyson Kidd, who is a producer for WWE. He said, "Man, that looks amazing. You put a little stank on that. I think that could be a finishing move for you." Mm. Bada bing, bada boom. We're back in it. You know what I mean? It got taken away.
Yeah,
it's so good. It got banned for a little while. The higher up said it's too good. It's too good. You got to find something else. But I brought it back. I brought it back in a big way. And it is the best, the most effective. It has won me all my world titles. Maybe. We have to go back and look at it. I think it might have won me. Maybe the pedigree might have got me one.
About to say that had to.
Pedigree might have got me
one.
In
the time when
one.
It got banned.
Yeah. I'm not sure. So either way, incredible move. Incredible finishing move. The guy who does it, Seth's kiss. We
Did you
love
say
it.
Seth's kiss?
Shoo. Oh. Okay, there we go. There we go. I love it. You love it. You know who else loves it?
Becky Lynch.
Even the safest drivers still encounter unsafe conditions, so it's important they do it in a safe vehicle. And Hyundai's offer available Class Executive Advanced Safety features to help keep you protected against the many challenges the road throws your way. Basically, in a Hyundai, you can drive as safely as possible and enjoy your journey in confidence and style. When you change lanes, signal, check for traffic, and enjoy the added safety of Hyundai's available blind spot view monitor. Constantly scan for dangers and take advantage of Hyundai's standard forward collision avoidance assist to help prevent accidents by alerting you of imminent collisions and automatically applying the brakes. Stay alert at all times and be thankful that Hyundai's standard driver attention warning system monitors your attention levels and can bring your focus back on the road. Safety is all about making the right decisions on the road and when selecting a vehicle. Learn more at HyundaiUSA.com. Call 562-314-4603 for details.
Let's talk O'Reilly Auto Parts, people. They're in the business of keeping your car on the road. O'Reilly Auto Parts offers friendly, helpful service and the parts knowledge you need for all your maintenance and repairs. They've got thousands of parts and accessories in stock, either in-store or online, so you never have to worry if you're in a jam. The team at O'Reilly Auto Parts can also test your battery for free, in or out of your car. If it needs to be replaced, they'll help you find just the right battery for your vehicle. Need your windshield wipers replaced, a brake light fixed, or a quick service? Well, they'll help you find the right part or point you to the nearest local repair shop for help. I know, because it's happened to me. The professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts are your one-stop shop for all things auto do-it-yourself, and you can find what you need in-store or online. Stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts today or visit us at OReillyAuto.com/Eisen. That's OReillyAuto.com/Eisen.
So you know we love talking movies around here. You know we love talking comedy around here. We also love talking about classics around here. So you know what I'm all about. That said, all of that said, you know how I must have felt when I was sitting in the movie theater like I was the other day watching the previews, and up came a preview for The Naked Gun with Liam Neeson as Frank Drebin Jr. That preview had me at hello. I loved Police Squad back in the day. I loved The Naked Gun back in the day. And here comes The Naked Gun once again with, yes, Liam Neeson as Frank Drebin Jr. Come on now. Son of the celebrated Police Squad Lieutenant Frank Drebin from the original movie. Paul Walter Hauser's in this movie. Also Pamela Anderson. Guess who also makes an appearance? WWE superstar Cody Rhodes. And the producer of the movie is Seth MacFarlane, the creator of The Family Guy. Come on now. This is going to be so much fun. I'm excited to see The Naked Gun in theaters on August 1st. So what are you doing August 1st? Of course, you're going to a theater near you and you're seeing The Naked Gun. I might even be there.
What could you do? Like, what's the move that you could actually perform?
Oh, man.
Right
you know
now?
What? I can kick a guy in the nuts without actually kicking him in the nuts.
Yeah, I'm going to pass on that.
Hold on a minute.
No, it's my party trick. I guarantee you, I won't hurt you.
So, is this
I'll take my pain kickers off.
Could this be sanctioned? Can she try to
yeah,
kick? Okay.
Literally.
Who would volunteer for this work?
Come on, because you just have to spread your legs. And okay. Wish for the best.
Mike, Del Tufo.
I mean, we'll both do it.
Mike is about to join the ranks of the Unsullied here on the...
Let's do this thing.
Wow. What are we about to attempt to do right here?
Kick him in the nuts.
Without actually
kick
hurting him.
Yeah, exactly.
But you will make contact.
I'll make contact, yeah, absolutely.
Okay, but you will not hurt him.
No.
Well, it doesn't matter. You'd have no desire to have children anyway.
No, I'm good. Yeah, okay. Exactly.
WWE Superstar Paige.
We'll see.
Do we have the, go ahead and hit it there, Jenny. Here we go.
All right, spread them for me. Okay, ready? If I was you, I'd pull your shorts up a little bit just so I can have a bullseye. You know
there you go.
Got it, jeez.
All right, ready?
This is great.
We'll see if this works or not.
She's laughing. I don't know.
I know.
All right, Paige, have at it. Superstar Paige. Here we go.
There we
no
go.
Contact. I just slapped him
no
on the butt.
Contact.
Yeah.
You're up next.
That was a good slap on this.
Yes.
Yeah.
Chris up next.
Uh-oh.
Ready? Spread him.
You're the one who was making fun of her. So there we go.
It just hurts on your butt. I'm
Are you serious? Are you serious, Chris?
I'm selling it.
Oh! Yeah! Vince McMahon, take yeah! note. Yeah! All right, fight with my family. Fight with my family.
I'm sorry
go
for
check it out.
There. It was like.
Well done. Fantastic.
you gotta rate us. How'd we do?
Oh my god. What did I just watch?
I watched Paige from 2019 kick Brockman and Del Tufo in the nether region.
Right in the nether regions. She said it was her party trick. that she could kick you in the nuts. I don't even know if I can say that.
Yeah, you can say it. And it wouldn't hurt.
And
it wouldn't hurt. And
you guys were just like, let's give it a go.
We're like, sure.
Let's see if she's lying. It's worth it. The things we do for television, I tell you what, for entertainment,
content,
man. God,
baby.
This is like, that was like a Jackass skit.
Yeah,
that,
right?
Yeah. I kind of regret that, even though it didn't hurt at all.
Okay. All right. Okay. All right. How to get that? All right, let's bring in our next guest. He is one of the greatest fighters in the history of the UFC. He is my friend. I love him. He is a two-time champ. He is. There he is. Look at him. Yeah. Look at that. Look at that smile, man. Look how happy. You make me happy just to see your face. Ladies and gentlemen, the legend, Daniel Cormier, yes. DC. There he is, my guy. DC, what is up, man? Where are you? What are you doing right now?
What's up, Seth? I see you're doing big things and sitting in Rich's seat. My God, look at my guy leveling up out here. But guess where I'm at, Seth?
Where you at,
I'm
dog?
I'm at the Saints facility in New Orleans, getting the Grand Tour. They just gave me and my son jerseys. They're hooking us up. And, hey, I just got the whole, that brand new, fresh, white Saints helmet. Oh. Look at this new alternate color rush helmet.
Dude, it's
the
like,
Bears ain't got it like that.
Well, we got an orange helmet, man. We haven't won a game with the orange helmets, but still, we got an orange helmet, dog. We can do a white one. Let's do a white one. Get somebody.
Yeah, the
get
Bears
on,
ain't got it like we got it down here in New
That's
Orleans.
Slick, man. That's
slick, man. It is slick.
You're getting ready for the Saturday, right?
Yes, UFC 318 Poirier versus Holloway 3 for the BMF Championship live. Smoothie King Arena in New Orleans. First time we've been in New Orleans since 2015.
Whoa.
And Dustin Poirier is retiring this weekend as he fights for the BMF Championship.
This is so 10 years they haven't been in New Orleans. That's crazy.
Yeah.
That's wild.
2015, I was supposed to headline a card in New Orleans against Ryan Bader. But then I ended up fighting for the belt. I won the belt, never got a chance to fight back here. Dustin Poirier gets an opportunity to have a fairy tale ending this weekend in New Orleans, where his fight career started.
That's so cool. He is one of the most respected fighters, Poirier, I'm talking about, one of the most respected fighters in the game. You know, former champion, a legendary career. It's so cool for guys to be able to kind of go out on their own terms. Right. To be able to just this is it for me to go out the way they want to go out. He's fighting, you know, Holloway, who's a guy that he's had a great history with. They've had some killer fights. Is it one of those situations where, like, win, lose, or draw, like, it's good for him? Like, it doesn't even matter, like, the outcome? Or is he still, do you think he's still got that, like, I want to knock this dude out? You know what I'm saying? Or is it just like, this is it. This is a nice swan song for me. What do you, I'd put yourself in his shoes and give me that take. What do you think?
So Dustin Poirier is in a situation where he got to kind of get the opportunity to come home and fight for a championship. His goals are solely to win this weekend. I asked him yesterday, I sat down with him for my YouTube channel and asked him, how do you deal with the love and respect knowing that you still have a fight to win this weekend? He goes, it's tough. He goes, because I'm not here to just get my roses. He wants to win. He wants to win. He wants to give these fans a lot to cheer about New Orleans. But he also recognizes the challenge ahead of him. Him and Max Holloway have now fought twice. Dustin won both fights. This is a trilogy, guys, that has spanned 13 years from fight one to fight three. So if there was a person that you would want to see him in there with for a third time, this is the guy. But unfortunately, it's a very difficult fight because Max Holloway is a guy that holds the BMF championship and is still one of the greatest fighters in the world with the idea that he's going to continue. So he's planning to play the spoiler. He goes, hey, I love that Dustin's getting all this respect. I respect Dustin. Unfortunately, I got to play the spoiler by coming into Louisiana and getting the job done. So hats off to Dustin, love and care for him, but he doesn't get that fairy tale that so few get in mixed martial arts.
Yeah, that's very interesting. That's an interesting dynamic you bring up because, yeah, Max is still in the game. Like, Dustin's going, hey, I'm out after this. I'm done, you know, but Max is still in the game. So he's got a little bit extra on his plate. Like, he wants to be able to move up in the rankings. He still wants to be a champion, you know, not just the BMF. He wants the title. He wants the main title. Yep. So that's a very interesting dynamic. I'm curious to see how that plays out from a motivation standpoint. When you had your last fight, did you know it was your last fight going in? Were you prepared in that way as well?
So for me, it was interesting because I was fighting for the heavyweight championship against Stipe Miocic in our third fight.
Yes.
I said that I was done before. Had I won, I don't know that they would have let me be done. Dana, even today, says that he thought I walked away so fast. I was like, boss, I was 41 years old fighting for the heavyweight title. I was done. It was like, I barely got through my last training camp to get to the fight with Miocic. And you remember, it was right in the heart of COVID. The yeah. world was changing. I built a gym in my garage to do my final training camp. It was a weird time that I retired. But I also knew that I was pretty much done physically. I think Stipe just beating me allowed for me to have the opportunity to walk away. Because the one thing that... if Dana believed that I wasn't done yet, they would have tried to convince me with a lot of zeros to do it again. And me being a guy that come from those zeros, I probably would have said yes.
That's fair. So you were at peace. You were ready for it.
Yes.
You were like, this is it. I'm good. I'm out. I'm going to go be with my family and do my thing.
Yep. So I was at peace with it, knowing that I was done. I asked Dustin yesterday. I said, hey, how have you come to terms with it? How have you dealt with it? Are you okay making peace with knowing that you will not be the man in the arena anymore? And he gave me this thoughtful answer, man. He said, I don't know that I have done that yet. And it was very sad. It was very sad because he knows that he's done. And his daughter wrote him this great letter. Dad, I'm so happy you're done with fighting. And he's having a son this year. And I said, have you come to terms? And he goes, I don't know that I've done that yet. And I could see in his eyes, it was like a little emotional because he's letting go of something that's defined him the entirety of his adult life, right? He's done fighting longer in his life than he hasn't.
Yeah.
So for him, it's going to be, you know, the end of a career is like a death. And I don't know that Dustin's taken an opportunity to process that yet.
Dude, when you said that about his daughter writing him a letter mm-hmm. saying that she's happy, I you almost got me. I almost, yeah. I felt that. I got the goosebumps, man. I almost had a couple tears. That almost got me. What happened to me? I'm a dad now. This happened.
Yeah, that's what it is, right? Yeah. We have daughters.
Woo,
we have daughters, nothing means more than when your daughter tells you something special.
No, man. Oh my goodness. Wow, that's incredible. Oh, that's not so. All right. I gotta go a different direction. I'm gonna start breaking down. That's incredible. That'll be. Be curious for him how he processes that. All right, I need a little advice from you, all right?
Talk to me.
As a guy who went from the arena, being the man in the arena, to now being the man behind the microphone, all right?
Yes.
What were the biggest adjustments for you, or what was the hardest thing for you to learn going from being, you know, the guy that everyone's talking about to being the guy who's doing all the talking about everybody else?
So I think you do a tremendous job already. And I've had you on my podcast a number of times. And one thing you have to learn to do is deal and prepare, even though all our preparation has been physical. That's one of the biggest changes, is knowing physical preparation as we have over the course of our entire life and applying that to this. So not only speaking of these people, using all the knowledge that you have stored and applying it to what you're talking about, but also making sure you study so much more to make sure you're prepared for the things that may change down the line. And just having confidence and having fun and realizing that you're blessed. We are blessed to have the opportunity for our words to not only impact people, but to have the ability to speak of all these great athletes. I mean, these people, these athletes, you really gain an appreciation for them whenever you step outside of being the athlete. Because you know from what when you were that guy, what it takes to get there, and you can appreciate it as a guy that did it, watching these young athletes do what they do in their career. But like I said, man, you're doing an amazing job now. That's why you're sitting in the seat you're sitting in right now. And I expect you to get just better and better as time goes on.
Ah, you're the man. You're too kind. Too kind, man. It's too kind. You know what? One thing I wanted to ask you about. I popped on your social media. I follow you on Instagram, so I just saw you're working with my boy, my boy, Jason Kalipa.
Oh, yeah. You know Jason?
I know Jason. I love Jason. Jason has been a huge friend of mine for years.
Wow.
because I was big into CrossFit.
Yes,
for years. I was like, I loved it. It was like my primary training modality. And Jason was a huge star in the CrossFit world, you know, maybe 10, 15 years ago. And he's still doing stuff with this. What are you doing with Jason? What is going on there?
I thought you were going to talk about my stolen truck.
Oh, but, no. Your truck got stolen?
Bro, I went to call UFC 317. And when I got back to the airport, I'm walking up and down and I'm like, I know I parked my truck right here. And I just kept looking and looking and looking. And finally, I walk up to the exit, the gate, and I press the button, and I said, hey. They go, yes, can we help you? I go, I can't find my truck. I was like, it's gone. And then they finally, it was a brand new truck, 4 days old.
Oh.
And I told them, they said, what's your VIN? I go, I have no idea. It's a brand new truck. And finally, they caught me coming in to the airport, got the VIN.
Yeah.
And they go, well, your truck left on Thursday night. And damn, I was like, well, I was in Vegas on Thursday. So somebody stole my truck.
Oh, no.
But yes. Yeah, they stole my truck, man. It was crazy.
To Jason. Okay, to Jason. Yeah, what are you doing with Jason? What's going on there?
Yes. 45 days for me to start working and doing stuff again physically. Because my whole life has been a coach telling me, go work out, train, get better. Following goals my whole life. So, Seth, while the goals became working in broadcasting, I wouldn't train or do anything. For the first time in my life, since I was 15, I had a coach. I made my first United States world team in that age level. I've always had someone pushing me to train, and I always had goals that were so big. But when I didn't have them, I just sat around and started playing golf. So I started gaining weight. I'm living life, man. And finally, I was like, you know what? I got to start doing something more active, right? Because my son's going to be in eighth grade next year. He goes to high school in 2 years. I want to be able to wrestle with him. I want to be able to do things with him to try to help him along the way with his journey. So Jason reaches out. We start talking. He starts giving me a plan on how to work out for 45 days to rebuild the consistency that I had in my life once, where working out was just what I did.
Yeah.
And so we're in day 17 now. It's really good. I've lost some weight. I've been training. But I'm telling you, CrossFit guys are out of your mind with some of the stuff that you do. This dude is destroying me, bro.
Yeah, dude. Jason's a wild man. He's a wild man. I love him. He's a good dude. That's great. I'm glad you're reprioritizing your physical health. That's a good thing. It's so easy to just take your foot off the gas pedal and eat pizza every night and cookies. You know what
yes,
I'm saying?
Yes, it is.
Oh,
yes,
it's what a life, you know? What a life. All right. I got one last question for you. I want to ask this. I thought about this. What do you think made you a champion? What set you apart?
Yeah.
There are a lot of elite level competitors.
Yep.
In the world, in your world, in my world, in all of sports, there are very few champions, guys that are just at a different level. What do you think it is that set you apart from the elite, that made you like the best of the best? What was it that did that for you?
So I think when I realized that I was a little different when, after high school and college, I made the Olympic team. And there were only 7 wrestlers in the whole country that got to go represent the country. Those 7 guys have a different mentality. So a lot of the things that made me great in real life aren't the best qualities. You got to be selfish, unbelievably selfish, because you got to prioritize those goals in order to reach them. And you got to have this undying belief in self and the willingness to work to go accomplish all those goals that you believe are out there, right? So I had to be selfish at times. And as you get out of that life, you got to realize that you got a lot of making up to do for all the times that you were selfish. And then you got to work as hard as anyone, man. People say it's cliche to say hard work and all this, but it works. You know, hard work actually just works. If you work hard, most times you're successful. And does it make you the best in the world? No. But it gives you an opportunity to be the best in the world. So, and I was a bit lucky, but you're only lucky whenever preparation meets an opportunity. So a little bit of luck, some hard work, and a real belief that I could be the best. Like, I never doubted that I could be the best. So I just kept working at it, working at it, working at it. And one day, you're standing in the middle of an octagon with a belt wrapped around your waist by Dana White, and you're a world champion. And if you don't get there, at least you'll give yourself an opportunity to dream, right? Everybody should get a chance to dream. But you can't dream and hope that dream becomes a reality if you don't really apply yourself to that dream and live for that dream.
I love it. I love it. I love the mindset of elite champions, man. It's fascinates me. All right. So we got the show this Saturday, UFC. What number? I've lost track of the number.
318. It's so, yeah, we do them all the time. There are so many.
318.
I even asked that.
318. Dustin Poirier's final fight for the BMF title. Five-round main event against Max Holloway. The trilogy, you said 13 years. 13 years
in the making.
It's going to be a hell of a fight. I know I'm going to tune in to watch it. You got any predictions? What's your prediction?
You know what's the beauty in my job as a commentator? I can't predict fights. So it keeps me on the good side of a lot of fighters, because when I did not pick, everybody was mad at me. So I just can predict that it's going to be a barn burner down on the bayou.
You know it. I'm excited for it, man. Good luck with that. Thank you for stopping by. Good luck. If you talk to Jason before I do, tell him I said hello. Here he is, man. DC1. I can't believe we did this on the... I got to interview you for the first time ever, man.
Yeah, so crazy.
Thank you for coming on and being a part of it. We appreciate it, man. Thank you.
You're the man, Seth. You're the man.
You are.
Later, guys.
Double champ. Double champ, DC, man. Oh. I love it. Yeah. God, he rocks, dude. He's interviewed me so many times. You know what? God, now that he's gone, I missed out on talking about WrestleMania. And him missing
the... Is he still on?
He's gone.
Every now and then they hang out for a second.
God. Ah. That's all right. I had too many other things. Well, there'll be another time. We'll get him again.
Next time you coming.
Yeah. Next time when I take the show over and Rich never comes back. Well, you know what? You guys are not commentating the fight this weekend, so you can make predictions. Mm-hmm. Do we have predictions? Holloway, Poirier, 3. What do we think? What are we feeling?
Let's go to Jay because you've actually worked with DC.
Jay Felly, what do you got?
I think Holloway.
You think Holloway. What do you think's the... Because he said Poirier's got 2-0 on him, so...
Yeah, he's just got this fight-or-die attitude, and I think he's just going to keep swinging until he connects, and... I think he's going to take this one.
Holloway, slight favorite.
Slight favorite?
Minus 140, DP plus 110.
Oh, they're very close.
Yeah,
close. Very, very close. That's like you just pick them pretty much.
It's close, and I probably would have been swayed to pick Max, but then after hearing that and the daughter might put Dustin in a different mindset, so you know what? I'll go against the grain. I'll take Dustin Poirier.
Yeah, I'll break the tie. I'll take Dustin, too.
You'll take Dustin? I'm going to take Max, and I think the reason is... what DC mentioned about, like, Max is still in the game.
Yeah.
You know, he's just got more, like, he's got more at stake here. Like, he loses, he falls down the rankings, it's a whole ordeal, you know?
True.
So,
good point.
That's how I feel about it. I think, you know, you got more at stake, you're going to fight a little bit harder, whereas, you know, even if it's not, you're not cognizant of it, Dustin might just take his foot off the gas just a little tiny bit, you know?
This episode is brought to you by Navy Federal Credit Union. Navy Federal can help you find and finance the right vehicle with ease. And this summer, you're in the driver's seat with savings. You could get a $250 bonus when you buy your next car through Navy Federal's car buying service powered by TrueCar and finance with Navy Federal. With this tool, you can find the vehicle that's right for you as you search through inventory and compare models. And you can get an amazing rate when you finance with Navy Federal. Navy Federal strives to support all active duty veterans and their families to achieve their personal and financial goals. And this partnership with TrueCar is one of the many tools Navy Federal uses to help its members. Make your plan with Navy Federal and TrueCar today. Navy Federal Credit Union. Our members are the mission. To qualify for the $250 bonus, car purchase and financing must be completed by September 2nd, 2025. Terms and conditions apply and are available at NavyFederal.org/TrueCar. Credit and collateral subject to approval. Navy Federal is insured by NCUA.
Get in the zone, AutoZone.
Welcome to AutoZone. What are you working on today? Hey, that's the spirit. Right now, we're celebrating free with a free STP oil filter when you buy 5 quarts of oil and free Duralast brake pads when you buy 2 rotors. Like always, free battery testing, charging, and recycling at every store. Celebrate free at AutoZone, now through July 28th.
Get in the zone, AutoZone.
Restrictions apply.
So I've got 3 scenarios here.
Okay,
one for each version, if you don't mind.
Okay.
For you, Titus Welliver, to give me your young Pacino.
Okay.
Talking about your favorite New England delicacy. Okay. So you've grown up in the New England area. There's different types of...
Panacanita Park, yeah.
That's it, right there.
That was very early. I have to say, you know, Rich, the thing for me is there used to be a restaurant on Boylston Street, and I was doing theater in Boston, and I would go there, and they had the freshest cherry stone clams you ever had, and a clam chowder. The clam chowder would knock your teeth out.
Ladies and gentlemen, fantastic. Titus Welliver.
I bet you Al Pacino has never eaten clam chowder.
I don't eat that New England. I eat the Manhattan clam chowder.
All right, next up is the Serpico Godfather Dog Day Afternoon. I guess, would you say that's sort of era?
Yeah, that's the higher tones.
Okay, if you will, the longstanding argument for Patriots fans over the last 20 years is who's more responsible for the dynasty, Brady or Bill Belichick?
I gotta tell you, Rich, you know, the thing for me, you know, here's the problem. You know, Tom Brady, he's a great ball player. He's a fantastic athlete, right? And you gotta love him. And Bill Belichick, right? I mean, he's sort of like he's a sphinx, you know? He's got two expressions, right? That's silence and anger. And I admire that as an actor. But Tom Brady, I think, right, you know, he's the guy, he's out there, he's doing it. But he's also got a supermodel at home. I mean, who can't do well if you're married to Giselle, right? So I think it's sort of a, you know, it's a combination of the two. But, you know, I think if I could do an impression of Giselle, I would give her all the credit.
A very nuanced take by the version of Al Pacino. Very nuanced. Not one way or the other. Take it right down the middle. I appreciate that. Okay. And the last one for you, Titus Welliver, is the 90s era, I guess. Okay. Al Pacino, the scent of a woman, Pacino. Reacting to the news that Tom Brady has signed a $375 million contract to become a broadcaster.
I gotta tell you, Rich, I mean, you know, talking about it, here's a guy, right, who's dedicated his life to playing football. Now he's gonna go, he's gonna sit in a chair and wear an ugly sport coat. I think, you know, I don't know, maybe he lost money at the market because maybe he needs the money. But for me, it's kind of preposterous, right? But athletes, it's a natural trajectory. When you leave, you're going to do commentary. But what's Tom Brady going to talk about? Mouthwash or cologne? But he's got that supermodel wife, right? So that's always sort of... The caveat of that is he's married to her. She keep him on a straight and narrow. Maybe she maxed out the plastic and he needs the money.
It's a pretty big contract, though, right? Scent of a woman, Al? It's a pretty...
Yeah, ooh-ah, that's a big contract, baby. That's a lot of money. That's a lot of cologne, baby.
Kind of well done.
That's great.
It's now impressive.
Give the monkey a banana.
Ah, the time has come, guys.
Oh, man.
I know. We're almost to the end. It's making me sad.
Yeah, me too.
I don't want to say goodbye. Can we just do 6 hours today, you know, and just stay on?
I'm free this afternoon. Yeah,
I would need to eat and pee, likely, if we were going to do that.
There's a bathroom in the back.
All right, yeah. We'll figure it out. But look, I feel like...
It took you like 15 minutes to walk there yesterday.
It would take me a while to crutch on over there. I guess this is it.
This is it
for now. It's not goodbye, it's see you later. But I think we should take some calls. We got so many people on hold.
Finish up with calls.
I see these hold times and I'm like, so yeah, let's take a couple calls and let's see what we can
do. You got the list. Why don't you pick? You can see it or what?
I can see the list. Yeah.
You just make the list.
You decide.
Me? Okay. Well, then I would go by who's been holding the longest, which looks like this
Selena.
Yeah. Let's get her on the line. See what we got here.
Hi, Selena.
Hey, how are you?
Good. How are you?
Great. We got Seth there?
I am here. I am talking to you live in the flesh. What can I do for you?
Oh, well, of course, I am your number one fan. I love you. I watch you when I can. I was just wondering, what do you think about Aaron Rodgers with the Steelers this year?
Oh, well, you know, I put them in my top 10 yesterday. I did put them there. I think they're going to be a good team. I think, everybody thinks it's going to be a big combustion there in Pittsburgh. That Aaron Rodgers is a bit of a cancer to the team environment. I didn't say that. Brockman might have said that. We'll see what happens. But I think it's going to turn out well. They always play well. Tomlin gets it together. I think they're going to make a run for that division. Things can be very, very difficult. As I think they're still the third best team in that division, but they will push Baltimore and Cincinnati. I think it's going to be a nice final year for my arch nemesis, Aaron Rodgers. So thank you. I appreciate it.
Yeah, no problem. That's great to talk to you. I'm so happy. I was waiting on hold forever.
I know you were, and I got you on, man. I'm a man of the people. Thank you so much, Selena.
Thank you.
You have a good day. We're going to see if we can get somebody else in here real quick.
Do it. What do you got?
What we got? Let's see. The next one is Vegas, Alex.
Alex.
Yeah. Get Alex on. Alex.
Hello. Hey,
what's up? How are you?
Pretty good. How have you been?
We are wonderful. What can we do for you?
So, I just wanted to say really quickly that you've been providing entertainment for my family for well over a decade now, and we wanted to thank you for that.
Oh, God. Has it been that long?
Yeah.
No. All right.
So, best wishes to you and your recovery, Drew, and to Becky on her current title run. And our question was about Bray Wyatt. He meant a lot to our family, and we wanted to ask if you could speak on your relationship with him, and do you think you'll eventually share the ring with the Wyatt Six?
Wyndham Rotunda passed away a couple years ago, better known as Bray Wyatt to WWE fans. He was a good friend of mine, someone that I love, that I keep in my heart pretty much every single time I go to the ring. I see the fans when they hold up the phones, the flashlights, the fireflies. It's one of those guys who will live forever. I don't know if I'll ever be in there with the Wyatt Six. Those guys are scary, I will say. But yeah, Wyndham's one of the greatest. I think about him all the time. Love his family, wife, kids, the whole thing. So great question. Great way to end it up. Bray Wyatt, baby.
Jim Rome takes on sports.
Why? Because you're not playing me.
With rapid fire takes.
And a lot to get to, and I'm not sure you're going to like all of it. Honestly, I don't even care if you like all of it or not. I have a job to do.
Scorching debates.
On any given week, you have lots to beef about. Take advantage of it. Get up in here.
He's the spitfire of sports smack.
She's not my fault. We will get to all of that.
The Jim Rome Show podcast.
Get up in here, and we'll beef later on. What's your beef?
Follow and listen on your favorite platform.
You've been warned.